Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake-Up Call with Dave Crossan. And yes, I am Dave Crossan, and I am excited. Here we are in 2024. I hope you had an amazing 2023. I hope the holidays were great. The New Year's was great. I hope you had a great time with your friends and family. I hope everyone is healthy as we enter this year. I'm excited for 2024. Here we are in January, and I'm excited to get into this year. And of course, I want to put out that triple thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the individuals, all the people out there that have reached out to me with some great ideas, great topics for some shows in the future. And again, I always welcome any feedback. Please, if there's a show you really like, say, Dave, I love that show. Or Dave, maybe you should have gone this direction or that direction. We need a little bit more clarity, whatever it is. I really appreciate that. And how can you reach out to me? Of course, my main number is 732-902-7880. Or of course, you can email me at davidcrossan@shorelinewealth.com. So here we are, brand new year. And I was thinking, what do we do? How do we start off the new year? And then it hit me. You know what, David? You need to put out there as a like a financial checklist for the new year. Here we are in 2024. What are some things to consider, some things that we need to look at with our finances? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to list some items out. And again, they're not going to be in any particular order. I just want to put those items out there, those things to consider, maybe that light bulb moment where you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. I need to look at that. So let's just start it off. And again, this is not in any order with the items I'm going to list. But as we are starting off the new year, consider taking a peek at these items. Number one, let's take a good look or do like a review, if you will, of your beneficiary designations. Now, what do I mean by that? Any accounts where you have a name beneficiary, that could be your 401k, your 403b, a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, an insurance policy, maybe a brokerage account with a transfer on death, a TOD designation, a bank account with a payable on death designation. And of course, any joint accounts where, let's say you have a joint account with another individual. Again, if you pass away and those proceeds go to that individual, make sure that's the direction you want to go. But getting back to the beneficiary designations, make sure you go through these. Make sure, unfortunately, maybe somebody has passed away. Maybe somebody that you has a beneficiary, you just don't want them to have this particular asset. There's been a change in your estate plan, whatever it may be. Because for a lot of people, they're thinking, well, David, I already updated my will. I made the necessary changes. We're in good order. Well, no, that's not the case. Any beneficiary designations will supersede whatever instructions you have in your will. So I think for a lot of people, they're thinking, well, the will will take care of it. Well, no, that's not the case. If you've named somebody as a beneficiary on your account, but you have different instructions in your will, it doesn't matter what your will says. It's going to go right to whatever the beneficiary designation is. And one last point with the beneficiary designations, if you have the opportunity to do so and they have the ability to put a contingent or a secondary beneficiary, meaning if something happens to your primary beneficiary, you have now named a secondary or contingent. I always like that option. Again, unless your estate planning attorney has advised you to not do that, I always like that option because unfortunately, when somebody passes away, the first thing on your mind is like, well, no, I better go change the beneficiary designation on my account. People forget. People just don't get around to it. And then something happens to them. And unfortunately, if they haven't been updated, that beneficiary that is listed on there, or if you did not properly set up a new beneficiary for somebody who had passed, it could go to somebody that you didn't want to have that asset or those money. So again, consider the beneficiary designations to review them. And also if you have the opportunity and it works with your estate plan to put on secondary or contingent beneficiaries, if something happens to the primary beneficiary, could be a good idea for making sure you've taken care of the possibility that if the primary passes away, primary beneficiary that is, that you have another individual listed to take their place. Now, with individuals contributing to, let's say, a 401k where their employer is matching up to a certain percentage, What I'm suggesting is to make sure that you contribute up to what your employer is contributing percentage-wise. Maybe it's 3%, up to maybe 6%. I'm just throwing that out there. But find out from the plan administrator what that percentage is. And usually you can go online and figure that out. It should be on there with what your options are. Or if not, again, reach out to your plan administrator. But if you don't go up to the max amount that your employer is contributing, then you're not taking full advantage of it. You're leaving money on the table. So consider contributing up to the max as you're getting a pay raise. If you don't do it up to that max that the employer is contributing, you're not taking full advantage of that benefit. So again, review that and make sure that you have the ability to do so to make up to that max that the employer is contributing. Also, too, for a health savings account, that you can set aside money on a pre-tax basis to pay for any qualified medical expenses that you incur. It's also the last triple exempt, tax exempt, that is, investment vehicle available. So make sure you're taking advantage of it for those medical expenses. Now, next item I want to talk about is, and this is important, so when it comes to an annual review with your financial advisor, I always like to set those up in February. And you're saying, well, David, why not January? Start the year off right. Well, I'll say this. For individuals that have required minimum distributions, meaning from their retirement accounts, they have to take out a certain amount of money each year or there would be a 50% penalty, and nobody wants that. So for certain investments with inside a retirement account, let's say a traditional IRA, I know with some annuities that have certain income guarantees or certain riders, those numbers with the adjustment for whatever the RMD would be may not come out until later in January. So you want to make sure you have the proper numbers. Sometimes with an annuity, it's not the current value on how they figure out what the required minimum distribution would be. It would be based on their guarantees or their rider value. So that's why with going to see your financial advisor, if you're taking required minimum distributions, or at least you have to, this year it's age 73, that you have that conversation so you can set up that plan, or maybe you're already doing that and you're taking the distributions, you want to have the correct numbers. Now, for a lot of individuals, when it comes to the required minimum distribution, they wait till the end of the year. Like, well, David, you know, and I'm making this up, $10,000 needs to come out. That's the requirement. Take it out in December and pop it in my bank account. Well, something to consider. All right. And I'll make it easier numbers. Let's say it's $12,000 that you have to take out. Well, why not take it out on a monthly basis? So consider it as part of your income. So in other words, let's say you had this set up in January and every month for the 12 months, you took a distribution from your retirement account. It's like a pay check, if you will, coming into your bank account. You have to take the money out anyway, so the IRS doesn't matter to them when you do it, whether it be January or December. You can set this up so that the distribution goes right in your bank account. You can also do any sort of tax withholding if you've sat down with your CPA and your CPA is telling you, well, you know what, withholding, I'm making this up, 15% on the federal side and 3% on the New Jersey side. You can actually do that with the distributions. So instead of you getting the gross amount into your bank account, you're getting the net amount after the taxes are withheld. And again, my thinking is, why not utilize it as almost that paycheck, that amount that's coming in every month, rather than wait till the end of the year? Or another thought, maybe you're thinking, well, David, I have some big expenses that are not monthly, they're quarterly. Well, giddy up. How about do a quarterly payment to match those big bills that are coming in so that money goes in your bank account and you can use to offset those bills that may be quarterly? Last thing I'm going to put out there, and again, I mentioned this many, many times on other podcasts, is the ability to do an in-kind distribution. Let's say you don't need that money. You don't need it for various bills or expenses, but you really like an investment that you have with inside your retirement account, inside your IRA. Maybe it's a great stock, a dividend-paying stock, or a great mutual fund that you really like. Well, consider this. You don't necessarily have to sell it to generate the cash to do a distribution and put it in your bank account. You can actually move that amount, in other words, what do we say, $12,000, again, I'm making this up, $12,000 worth of that investment, move it over to a non-qualified brokerage account. So that movement from the pre-tax account to the after-tax account, the IRS will recognize that as a taxable event and also would go against what you need to take for your required minimum distribution. So again, a lot of people don't talk about the in-kind ability to do that. Why sell an investment inside a retirement account that's really doing a good job for you, nice growth, nice income, dividends, whatever the situation, and you could simply just transfer it or do a distribution from the pre-tax retirement account to the after-tax non-qualified account, and that will count against or I should say, for the amount that you need to take out for your required minimum distribution. Take a good look now, as we had a lot of expenses, I'm sure, with the holidays, that you have at least 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund, funds available for whatever reason. You lose your job, there's a big repair, a car issue, you need to, I don't know, roof, a hole in your roof. I don't know. I'm just making this up. But you don't want to be in a situation where you have to hit your credit card, pay for an item, and then you're paying 20, 25% in interest. So with these emergency funds now, that could be a money market, a savings account. And for a lot of these high yield savings, especially with these online banks, really good rates out there. You're talking, you know, 4 to 5%, maybe 4.5% in that range. And what's nice about that, we had this conversation a couple years ago, there really wasn't a good place to put liquid money because the interest rates weren't there. Now, what we're seeing are good interest rates. So how great is that? You're able to take money, put it aside for some expenses that you don't anticipate, an emergency fund, but you're getting some interest. If you're able to get 4 to 5% with an emergency fund, how great is that? So you are making money on this money that's available if you need it and you're not anticipating a certain repair or something that happens, that money's there. But guess what? It's making money. Like I said before, with the holidays, I'm sure we all had some big expenses with gifts, entertaining family, whatever the situation. And now here we go in January and you're looking at that credit card bill and you're like, oh boy. So what we really want to do is pay down or pay off that credit card if we can, because like I said, those credit card interest rates are in the 20%, 25%. They're terrible. So you really want to start paying off whatever cards are the highest interest rate. So what I like to do is itemize it out to take a look at these different lines of credit that I have to be able to pay them down, because we don't want a situation where we've got this debt and we're paying a high rate of interest. And this really leads into the next part of the conversation is, drum roll please, is, that wasn't a good drum. The ability to set up, or take the time, I should say, to set up a good budget. Take a good look at what's coming in the door, your income, maybe required minimum distributions, pensions, whatever the situation is that's coming in the door. What's going out the door? What are you paying for cable? What are you paying for your insurance premiums? Maybe there's some things that can be done there for some adjustments. You know, am I going out to dinner too often that I could be eating in? Use that as a nice opportunity to do a nice review and look for a way, number one, to really see where your money is going, but also look for an opportunity to cut down on expenses. And how are you going to do that? I know for myself, I need to see it in front of me, write it out, put it by month. What I like to do is do a budget by month, but also quarter, because for, you know, certain bills, certain expenses, they're quarterly. And I don't want a situation where I'm like, oh, I'm doing really well, and that quarter comes and boom, now I'm in the negative. So I want to make sure that as I'm putting money away, that I'm saving, that I have extra money available for those months where there are more expenses, especially for payments that are every quarter. And another thought here too is, looking at all of your accounts. Maybe this is a nice opportunity at the beginning of the year to get rid of some accounts that you don't need. Maybe you've got that extra checking account that there was some sort of promotion at the bank. You did it 5 years ago, and now it's really not doing anything for you. Let's clean that up. Let's make it less confusing. Let's also look at your 401ks from previous companies. Maybe you have a couple 401ks that are floating out there that you're getting the statements, but you're not doing anything with. And, you know, going into this year, you know, maybe there's some overlap. The investments are similar. And if you are working with a financial advisor, make that person aware of these different 401ks that are out there. Maybe there's an opportunity to either consolidate them with your new company 401k, or if it makes sense to move it into a traditional IRA where you can get some guidance from a financial advisor. But use the beginning of this year to kind of clean up any loose ends, get rid of some, you know, maybe some bank accounts that you're not utilizing, maybe a brokerage account that you're not utilizing. You know, I'm not talking about any sort of credit cards and different things like that, because you got to be careful if you close out, say, a credit card that you have a long history with. Maybe it's one of your credit cards that you've had the longest. Be careful closing that out, because that actually may negatively impact your credit score. And then we can have that conversation, and I will, where we talk about what affects your credit score, but that is one of those items that can. So I'm not referring to that aspect of closing down accounts. I'm referring to just, you know, some bank accounts, some brokerage accounts, or any accounts that you're not utilizing that don't make any sense to have. Clean it up. And also too, with your 401ks that may be floating out there, a previous employer, the opportunity to consolidate it with your current employer's plan or to a traditional IRA. Let's use the beginning of this year to go through that. And here's another thing too, insurance coverage. Do you have enough? And this is something where you can have a conversation with your financial advisor. This is something your financial advisor should be doing. And it's, you know, your life, your health, your disability, liability, your auto, you know, are you overpaying? You know, maybe you can, for your auto, change your deductible. Whatever the situation is. Also, too, I want to focus in on the life insurance aspect. Do you have enough? Do you know what enough is? A financial advisor should be able to review what your situation is. You want to make sure, God forbid, something happens to you, your family's okay, your mortgage is paid off, there's enough money to create an income stream, because unfortunately you've passed away, what's going to replace that income? Your kids' education. These are important conversations. So a good time to evaluate the coverage that you have and to make sure that it's enough. Or maybe you're paying into some coverages, or I should say some insurance policies that you can consolidate into some other ones with some better benefits, better death benefits. Last point I want to make about insurance plans, or looking to make sure you have enough coverage. Also, while you're doing that, take a look at the beneficiary. That's another account where you would have a named beneficiary. Make sure it is the person or people that you want to have on that policy as the beneficiaries. And as we're wrapping this up, last thing is to look at your estate plan. Are there any updates? Are there any changes to your will? Different things that you need to do? Do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney? Do you need to make changes there? A living will, medical directive. Again, I'm just naming different legal documents. Do you need a trust? These are things where if you have a plan in place and you need to make some changes, reach out to your estate planning attorney. For a lot of individuals, especially younger individuals that don't have any plan, they don't have a will or a power of attorney, this is a good time to sit down with a qualified estate planning attorney and make sure you get those documents in order, or if you have old documents, to have them reviewed, as it is so important, especially for younger people that have kids. What if something happened to you? Who is going to take care of your children? You know, clearly outlining what should happen is so important for not just retirees, but people that have families that are younger. They need those legal documents too. So again, with today, I just wanted to kind of kick off the year. I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for what's going to happen. I think, again, you enter a year, you're excited. You know, I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to do all these great things. But now is a good time. Let's get organized. let's go ahead and just go through the different items on this checklist and make sure we're starting the year off right and making sure that if there's things that we forgot to do or things that we need to get in better order, now is the time to do it. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody who is listening to this podcast and have been listening to all my podcasts. My number, 732-902-7880. Of course, visit us at shorelinewealth.com, and we have offices in Manchester and Manahawkin. Have a great week, and I look forward to speaking with you or having this conversation on different topics, different thoughts, different ideas next time. Feel free to reach out to me with your ideas and thoughts. I would love to include them in a future podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a great day. Take care.